evergreen prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us. Upon your resurrection, our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ the Lord is glorified. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter says, but grow in grace, which is in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace, which is in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter says that a man in Christ is one that should be aware of the fact that he needs to grow and grow in grace, right? So Peter is writing his epistles, and he makes allusion to Paul in the previous verses, how Paul in all his epistles wrote about the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. So Peter says, grow in grace, which is in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Now we see what we said, rather, spiritual growth will be seen by growth in knowledge. So spiritual growth will be seen by growth in knowledge, right? We say joy doesn't come, unadulterated joy, rather, is what we're looking at. So it doesn't grow by excitement, it grows by enlightenment. So when the believer understands what he has in Christ, joy will flow naturally. So the believer needs to pay more attention, right, to what he has in Christ. And that's where the devil tries to steal us of our blessedness. He tries to take our minds off the things that our minds should be taken off. Right, it tries to distract us with all manners of things. You know, it's very easy in this life to get very distracted, very easy to get distracted. And the goal of the devil is actually to get us distracted. There's so many things right now that can make an average person to get very busy, right? If it's not with your phone, it's not with your laptop, your iPad, you know, there's so many things. But the truth is that, you know, like we were saying on Wednesday, if you don't spend more time in the world than in the world, when the world throws its tantrums at you, it will affect you. Altogether, it will affect you. It will affect you. There's something about the knowledge that we have that keeps us going in the midst of thick cloud, right? You know, I was saying it on Wednesday, right? You need to ensure that you spend more time in the Word than even at your work. You know, we did that calculation on Wednesday, right? We have 168 hours, is that correct? 168 hours in a week, right? Our work, no matter how much your work is, let's say you're doing 50 hours, right? You take 50 hours out of 168, you still have 118 hours to go. So it means you can still spend quality time in the Word. Build an atmosphere where God's Word is playing around you. You have your headset, you have God's Word playing, right? You are driving, you have God's Word playing. You're in the car, God's Word is playing. You're on the train, God's Word is playing. Because the truth is that if you pay so much attention to this Word, more than you pay attention to the Word, right? The Word has a way of taking you and swaying you away. It's very easy for people to assume that, no, I don't have the time, I'm so busy. But the truth is that when life really shows up, right, you will find out that the reality that is expected, or the knowledge of the reality that is expected of us, is very important. So Peter says, grow in grace, that is, grow in knowledge. And you cannot grow without eating. Is that correct? How do you grow well? You eat well. You get the point, right? How do you grow well? You eat well. Yeah. Growing up, we said they told us there are how many classes of food? 7 or 9? All right. More than 5. And it's expected that everybody that wants to grow should have all the classes of food to eat out together. And that's what God's word should do to us, right? You don't pray to grow up out together. You feed to grow up. Is that correct? Yeah, you can't pray spiritual growth into your life. Are you with me? The only part where prayer comes in is to help or aid the knowledge you are learning to become much more effective. But you can't wake up, if you fast for 100 days and you just pray, and you don't study the word, you can't grow spiritually. Spiritual growth is gotten by your study and your feeding. So you don't grow all of a sudden into the word by praying, right? You grow by feeding, right? Prayer will come as an offshoot of feeding, right? So you pray as an offshoot of the knowledge you have from feeding. So you have to feed right. If you don't feed right, life would always throw its ugly head. Right? And no, I was trying to say, I've said it over time in this series, right? The reason why we say some of the things we say is because we've seen in life that it's very easy to put your joy and your dependence on things that you have. Are we together? Right? Yeah. You have your joy dependent on the things that you have or the things you don't have. But the truth remains that you will not always have everything you want. I hope you know, the richest men in the world are still looking for more money. I hope you know, the wealthiest men in the world are still looking for more money. The wealthiest men in the world are looking for how to preserve their wealth. You get the point? So it means there's no point that a man will actually get to and say, I'm fully satisfied. Right? Yeah? You won't just say, I've tasted money, I want to give out everything. So that's the approach you must have towards material things. Are material things good? Yes. Is it good to rejoice when you get something that is materially, you know, great? Yes. You know, and in our generation, in our world, we've, over the years, not necessarily in our world, we've used the word blessings and blessed, right? The non-biblical way. Right? God blessed me with a car. God blessed me with a house. Okay, we understand the methodology behind your etymology. We understand the grammar behind the English. You understand? But when you go through scriptures, you realize the word blessing is not used for things material. It has two Greek words, right? You have makarios. And what's the second one? Eulogy. Remember that, right? Makarios, eulogy. Blessed is a man that walketh in righteousness. Or blessed are the poor in spirit. Yeah, we said that word there is fortunate, right? It's more blessed to give than to receive. That word there, blessed, really means it's more fortunate. It's not correct. If you have to give, you're fortunate. So it's more fortunate to give than to receive. So that's what our scripture is teaching, right? When it says, blessed be our God and Father who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That's eulogy. That means we speak well of our God and Father who has spoken well of us. It now tells you are redeemed, you are forgiven, you are righteous, you are holy, you have the seal of the Holy Ghost. So the word blessing, as it were, in Bible language is not used for material things. And material things are good. We have people in the Bible who had material things. But you see, when you look at life and the reality of life, you realize that material things are good, but it's not what should keep your joy going. You know why? Because material things can come and go. If you've lived around for a while, even without knowing people personally, you would have heard of stories of men who were once rich. You would have heard of women who were once rich and now they have nothing again to show for it. Yeah? You know what it is for you to have tasted money and it doesn't look like you've tasted money before? You know, that's very painful. You know, it's very painful, right? You might not be able to relate, right? But it's painful. That's just the reality of life. Right? So the fact remains that we need to remind ourselves of how we get ourselves into the Word of God. See, anywhere that they are doing God's Word, you involve me. I want to be involved in that one. Hallelujah. Right? Involve me, oh. But anywhere that they are doing anything that will make me to have my heart to be unstable, don't call me, oh. Uninvolve me. That's the way they say it, right? Yeah, involve me when it comes to God's word, or involve me when it comes to anything that will straight away. Why do we say the things we say like the way we say it? It's very important. You know why? I realize that if we pastors don't get clear on certain truths of the Bible, the people who suffer for it are the people we lead. Altogether, if we don't get clear, if we don't say it how it should be, we don't make it very clear, crystal clear. Right? And I hope you know that, you know, the fact that we say this thing does not mean we don't like or look forward to having a good life. You know, I like to have a good life. Does it look like it? It looks like I like to have a good life, right? It looks like I enjoy good life, right? It looks like, you know, we're once in poverty, we shut the door of poverty, we've locked the door of poverty, want to throw the key, you know, we want to, am I still holding the key of the door? No, we've thrown the key away. Right? And you know, when you realize how much you've come from and where you're coming from, it will make you have a drive. But unfortunately, because a lot of us are living in environments where the people who should do the right things are not doing the right things, we have a way to associate it with God. That is why you see a lot of Christians, when they leave particular countries, right, they go to other countries, they don't have a Christian life, they don't have a fervent life, they don't have a prayer life. Right, I was watching a podcast or someone was talking about that people pray the way they pray in Nigeria because of the challenges they go through. Yeah, you see the problem with that? We are now in the quest of tackling one end, tackling another end. Jesus prayed, his blood was like drops of blood. What kind of prayer was he praying? Was it the economy of his nation? But you see the problem? I understand why people can say that kind of thing. It is because there are fundamental things that are lacking. So people have associated prayer with their material needs and the things, the expectations they have. But the truth is that the way you pray in your country, let's assume you are from Nigeria or whatever part of Africa, you know, we always just use Africa because we're the ones that are coming behind, right? It's the reality of life. And we have more churches there than any other continent. I hope you know. We don't know. You see, I said that one. Okay. But we have more churches in those areas. Now, is more churches God's will? Yes, it is. It is. You know, I always tell you, right? I had to start deliberately making myself. And anytime any member, right, comes to church, or anybody comes to church for the first time, I say, oh, Pastor, I just love this church. I love the homeness of this church. Okay. I love the family of this church. Okay. What are you saying? I just like small church. Pack your load and go. Because we don't plan to. We are not a small church. We are a growing church. You know, I always tell you. Yeah? We don't say we are a small church. We are a growing church. Right? It's expected that we grow to a point that we are all over the world. It's God's will. Now, not everybody will fulfill that, you know, a mission in the reason by planting churches everywhere. Right? If we plant one, plant two, your body will tell you. If you plant one, plant two, your body will tell you. Plant the third one, your soul will tell you. If you plant the fourth one, your spirit will tell you. Are we together? But the truth is that churches are to be everywhere. But the fundamental reason for the church has been lost. It's been lost. So we use God as that trade by barter God that we want to use and interact with. Oh, Lord, I want you to meet my needs. What happens when your needs are met? What happens? I said this a couple years ago. If a billionaire walks into a lot of our Christian meetings, he will think they are the God that people are praying to. Let me tell you. Let me just mention Elon Musk. Can't Elon Musk meet all your needs, Sister Vin? See, can you see? She's even saying, I believe in faith. You know, there was a man, was it Aliko Dangote, right? I heard that he went to a place in Nigeria to for an event, and he sat down somewhere. And some pastors gathered the chair and started allowing other pastors to pay them for them to touch the seat of Aliko Dangote to pray. My dad told me this, like, is it Aliko Dangote of the gates? I can't remember the name, right? And they were coming to know, I tap into the grace or the oil upon his life. If some billionaires hear the thing, what do you even need? What do you even need? Is it more? Is 1 billion yourself is too much? Yes, sir. And somebody will just say, somebody will just do like this. He doesn't need to talk, just do like this. And what that means just means wire $1 million to him. I tap. So now the question now becomes, when he gets £1 million, what happens to his Christian life? It will boom. More nations. After all, the nations are waiting. Okay, oh, vacation to more nations. Before you know it, now you just realize, Brajud, you're not in church on Sunday. I was in Tanzania. I won't in Tanzania. Pastor, you might think it's holiday, but you know there are souls. Ah, Pastor, the souls die. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Where is they again? Where are you? I just got back from Italy. I'm actually running to the airport to just catch my flight to France. What's up, Pastor? You know this French nation, they don't really know the gospel. But what about if you have £1 million? You know, there are some people you see that no matter how much money you know they make, they will still serve Jesus. Be that kind of person, I've known as that kind of person. There are some of us right now, I've pastored people before, right? And my prayer is not that you should not make it. Listen, no, God, no, I didn't just say that. My prayer is not that they should not make it. I was gonna, my prayer is that they should make it, if at all, when their heart is stable. You say, is the reality. No, I think about it. If God give all of you £1 million, am I sure all of you will be here next Sunday? Okay, yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. It's us now. We. You'll be here. Good. Praise God. After all, use the money to win muscles. I even charter a bus to be bringing people from your. You know, but I hope it sounds funny. But I'm saying it so that tomorrow, you know, some people, you just know when there's money in their pockets. Because money that boosts their confidence. Yeah? There's a song that sings, oh, that says, is it Holy Ghost who puts my confidence? You know that song? Is that Mastercraft, right? Yeah, it's Mastercraft. I think it's Mastercraft. Right? Yeah. And you know, some people, their own issue is fame. You see, that's why Sister Vim, for instance, leading the choir. You see, one of the things I'm going to speak to you and Sister Oni about is we need to prepare our minds as ministers and leaders to expect that the people we are leading might or would one day be in court. The world might make them bigger than the church. Imagine if Brian Houston, the pastor of Hillsong, managing a Darling Zech. You know, he was talking about it one day that he was pastor of Hillsong. They didn't even know him. If I did not mention pastor of Hillsong, someone would not know the pastor of Hillsong. Right? But if I mention Darling Zech, you will know her. You know the song, Sha, to the Lord, all the earth, let her think. He said sometimes they go on tour to different nations, but because people don't know him, right? People will come and be meeting him to take a picture of them and Sister Darling. But he felt comfortable in his skin. And bless the heart of a darling, for instance, who would maintain the simplicity of heart, regardless of what level she thinks she has gotten to. You know, she was one of the forefront people who started that integrity music pace, started giving us songs in those parts, songs we still sing till today, right? The question is, if you get famous, will you still remain committed to the things of God? Will we still see you in church? Or pastor will beat his mouth? Or pastor will chew his mouth? You know, I was saying to Nigerian church a couple of days ago, let me tell you, the goal is that everybody here becomes leaders, pastor one day or the other. No matter the place you find yourself, be ensure you try to learn all the techniques legally possible to feed yourself and your family conveniently. Very important. Very important. Very important. Now, it doesn't mean you would have everything. But I mean, you will have the basics that you know you know it. Someone had reached out to me to do something, a properly senior, properly multi-millionaire dollars, actually. You know, and I declined it. Yeah, because it's going to affect me in church. And I thought about it and I said, the only reason I could do that is because I was comfortable to feed myself and my family. This was a couple weeks ago. It wasn't a disrespectful thing. I just couldn't miss my Sunday service to do what he wanted me to do. Right? Tomorrow, if he comes and gives £1 million, I'll still celebrate him and rejoice with him. But not that I will miss my Sunday service because of that. Always learn as much as you can to get the basics as you can and learn contentment. It is only contentment because there is something that always wants to make you greedy. Honor him, respect him, love him so much. But the truth is that there's a call on my life and it's the reality. Right? And trust me, as a pastor, one of the things I've seen in the last few days is I've seen the amount of confidence I can use to say the truth to, regardless of who the person is, as long as it's the truth. Why? Because I've learned contentment. Very important. So if you allow your joy or your raising of shoulder to be because or based on the things that you have in your pocket, right? A day might come, your pocket might leak. It's easy to say God forbid. But are you telling people whose pocket leaks, they are not saying God forbid? I hope you know. Everybody who has touched wealth before and lost wealth before, at some point in their life, they thought they would never be poor again. You know that video? I will never be poor again. But you see, life is life. Say life is life. Life is life, oh. There is no better place they will tell you this thing than in the local church. Bless your heart if you have a place where they're telling you things like that. That your commitment to Jesus, your commitment to the joy of salvation, your expression of joy in salvation is based on the right, accurate knowledge that you have in God's word. Look at Psalm 16 we saw on Wednesday. The Lord is my portion, verse 5. Thou maintainest my loss. The lions have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. And my what? My glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. It says, for thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Let's read 11 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. At the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You know, we grew up saying that kind of thing, right? In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Yeah, so is that a wrong statement? Not a wrong statement. But if you are looking through biblical context, you must understand what you mean by presence of God. So when we say that kind of thing, what you mean by, more often than not, is that when we come together, there is fullness of joy. But the question you need to always think about is, if you use the word fullness of joy, it means that when you leave the place, what happens? It's not full. Or if there's joy, it's not full. Because we say, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. That means the fullest expression of joy we can possibly find is when we come together in the church. But that's not what that scripture is teaching. Look at how Peter teaches this in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 2, actually. Acts chapter 2. Man, I'm brethren 29. Let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both what? Look at verse 24. Let's go back to 24. Let's go back to 22. Ye men of Israel, verse 22. Hear this word, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel of the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord. Right? So what did man do? Look at verse 23. What did man do to Jesus? Wicked hands crucified and slain him. Did God slay Jesus? Did God crucify Jesus? No. What was God's deal in verse 23? He had a determinate counsel and a foreknowledge. So when you talk to when you talk about foreknowledge of God in the matter of the death of Jesus, you say what? Thick. Is that correct? Thick. Right? When you talk about the killing of Jesus, X, God. When you talk about killing of Jesus, when it comes to man, what do you do? Thick. Right? We saw that on Wednesday. Look at chapter 4. We saw that. Look at chapter 4 again to explain again. Then Peter, verse 8, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye what? Crucified, right? Whom God what? Raised. So what did God do in the crucifixion of Jesus? He raised him. What did man do? Crucified Jesus. Did God crucify Jesus? Did man raise Jesus? Don't mix it up. Okay? All right? So God raised Jesus from the dead. Look at chapter 2 again, verse 2. He says, him being delivered, if you go back to verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. You know, I said this joke on Wednesday. Remember that joke I said? Right? That I saw a picture that somebody sent. They said, if you are dating somebody, and you see the signs, and you close your eyes to the signs, what will you see? Wonder. Many people think, you just be surprised. How do people come up with these things? You have red signs in a relationship. You decide not to move on. You will see wonder when you marry. Well, so it says, God had raised him up in verse 24. Verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he's on my right hand, I shall not be moved. Right? David speaketh concerning who? Jesus. Who God raised up. Is that correct? So when you go back to Psalm 16, was that a prophetic statement? Would that be a prophetic statement? Yeah, look at it. See, everything you're going to read from verse 26 downwards is what we read in Psalm 16. It started from verse 5. The Lord is my... lines are falling unto me in what? Pleasant places. I have a what? Goodly heritage. Yeah, we explained that before. Is that correct? Lions falling in place means king taking territories. Are we together? Territories that were once theirs, repossessing what was theirs, right? So they have a goodly heritage. You talk about the land and the spirit. We've been done a teaching around that. So he now says, because thou will not leave my holy one in verse 27, neither will thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Is that there's fullness of joy at the presence? Are we here? How did Psalm say it? In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. How did Peter quote it? He says, at thy countenance, there is fullness of joy. So if we regulate fullness of joy to be only within when we come together as a church, what means that means is that when you go out into the real life, your joy will not be as full. Hallelujah. So he says, verse 30, let's read verse 30 together, 1, 2, 3, go. Therefore, are you in your Bibles? Therefore, 1, 2, 3, go. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Verse 31, he seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus has God what? Raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father the promise, of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now what? See and hear. So Peter says, when David spoke about Psalm 16, you would have thought he's talking about himself. But he's talking prophetically. Right? Talking prophetically. So Jesus Christ is the one who God will not allow to see corruption. Is that correct? Jesus Christ is the Holy One who David spoke about that will not see corruption. Are we together? Right? So did God resurrect Jesus? So he said it and he did it. Hallelujah. Say, God said it and he did it. Why are we paying attention to these things, right? Your right knowledge will help you, right? Understand how you navigate life. So the question now becomes, what does it mean by the presence there is fullness of joy? We said that over time. At what point is the believer's joyful? Huh? At what point did the believer's joy become full? At salvation. Is that at believing on the resurrection? Yeah. So can we say there is fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord? Yeah? Think about the presence of the Lord this way. What about if we look at the presence of the Lord from the angle of Jesus coming back to the earth? So the presence back to the earth upon the resurrection. Do you get that? So Jesus died. When Jesus died, was he absent from this world? He was absent from this world, and where was he present? In the shore, right? In the land of the dead. Is that correct? Can we say in hell? That's why he says you will not live there, only one in hell. Are we together? So where did Jesus go? Yeah, if that is a little confusing, there's a series we did around that. What happened in 3 days? We did the first season a couple years ago, right? Yeah, what hell means, how the Bible uses hell. You'll find out one very important. Let me just drop this here. You find out in that series, we said something around, you don't see the use of hell and fire. Are we together? Hell and fire. When you see the teaching of hell in scriptures, more often than not, it doesn't come with fire. So what you say, if you lie, you go to hell fire. Are we together? There is no teaching that shows. Yeah. Anyways. So the point is that Jesus Christ went to the land of the dead and he defeated death. That's why Paul will say, oh death, where is thy sting? Are we together? So Jesus defeated death. And when he defeated death and came back into life, into resurrection, what do you call that? Is that victory? So can we say his presence from the land of the dead? So I'm just giving you an illustration. Imagine this door, at the back of this door was hell. When Jesus comes into this room from hell, when he leaves that door, what do you see? Victory. And what do you see? Rejoicing. Are we here? Are we together? So you see a rejoicing from the presence. Are you with me? So we say, at the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of... Are you with me right now? Yeah? There is the fullness of joy because we are seeing his presence from the... So his presence signifies victory. Victory points to rejoicing. Victory points to joy. So why are we joyful? It is because of his presence. Are we together? So his presence reveals to us that we are victorious. Because we believe in his presence, we believe in his work from the resurrection, we believe in what he has done behind the door, it means that we are victorious. So as believers, we are full of joy always. Let me now ask you a question. At what point does your joy reduce? At no point. But at what point does your expression of joy reduce? When you stop seeing the presence of the Lord from the dead. Are you with me? When you stop paying attention to the resurrection reality, your joy will reduce. So you see what believers do? Let me allow you to finish writing. Hope you're learning something today. So David will say, at thy presence, what? There is fullness of joy. So when we see the resurrected king, we are full of joy. So the resurrected king comes with his spirit, and the spirit is the spirit of joy. That's the joy that is unadulterated. That's the joy that is not contaminated. Right? And Jesus will say, I will build my church. So the moment he stepped out from the gate of hell, what do you see on the lips of Jesus? I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. Now, he has done the first bit. Then there's an ongoing bit. So what's the point? Jesus is coming from the land of the dead at this corner. Where should the believer's eyes always be? Here. See, let me tell you how believers stand. There's a difference. Did you see that? There's a difference between this and this. Your full body, your full focus should be on the resurrection reality. When you are like this, it means that if somebody say, hey, look at it now. Brother Jude, just call me. Just say, hey. I say, you say, hey, you say, pastor. Or say the one that fits you. All right. Say it again. Okay. You see how much effort it takes me. All right. Say it again. So you know your posture where you can see how fast you respond to the word. Are you here? So you can correct your... A lot of people don't know this, how they are standing. Are we together? But I'm saying you can do that check in your house to know when you are faster to responding more with the worldly affection, with worldly things. Like I said on Wednesday, right? When you have the things of darkness predominant in your activities, let me tell you something. You are not unborn again. You are just somebody who has a tilted view of the resurrection reality. Are we together? Right? So when someone calls me here, I look away. And guess what? It's easier to look away. I look away. Before you know it, you find out you are here. And Jesus is behind you from the door of the resurrection. And he's saying, this is where your heart should be. So it's a check you can have for yourself. When you find out that there's something that you're always moody. Everything, you know, it comes with murmuring as well. And I know there's murmuring and there's joke murmuring, right? My wife and I used to do that joke murmuring, right? So you want to just say something very interesting and not just say, blah, 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 yeah. She should not respond. I told you. Right? That one is not mommy. That one is joke. But I'm saying ideally, right? When you have every spot in mommy, you see, the people that murmur, they were in the wilderness. What did Paul say about them in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Their carcasses. The grammar is big. They are dead body. Are we together? Right? They murmured every spot in. Moses will bring water from the rock. You know, in murmuring is like as if you are a bee. You know, bee, that's how bee used to. When you realize your life is full of murmuring, a murmuring life is not a life of faith. Talk well and talk with your full voice. A murmuring life is not a life of faith. More often than not, murmuring is a sign of fear. All together. Murmuring is a sign of fear. So you don't give yourself to murmuring. If you see yourself murmuring a lot, it means that your eyes have, your not just your eyes, your body is not focused on Jesus. Yeah? Bible calls Jesus the author and the finisher of our faith. That means the beginning of where we start out in faith is on Christ. During the process, all on Christ. Till the very end, all on Christ. All together. Yeah, there are things in life we don't do because it's trending. You know, people like to be pitied because that's the trending part. You know, if you tell a story that is very emotional, people will pity you. It's not correct. And people have started joining the bad one because it's popular. Let people not feel like I've not gone through anything in life. No, I need to carry my face so that people will not accuse me of I'm new to these things. No, that's not what the word says. Are we together? Right? Don't join murmuring. Don't join timidity. Don't join the group of trying to look for people to pity. You know, in this life, right, you have to be a big risk taker to be successful. I'm talking, this is outside of Christian faith now. You know now? Oh, you don't know? There's nobody who is successful in this life materially that did not take risk. Let me tell you, let's even assume the same money drop in their room. It's still a risk to touch it. So if money drop in your room, you don't know it's risky. Wait. You all your room, all your door is locked. You just see a bag of money in your room. Even people who say the money appear in their room, or they just, I just woke up one day and saw a bag of money in front of my door, and you touched it. And you know, is the right thing? Maybe, you know, if they cover the bag of money, you might say you don't know what is inside. But imagine you just open the zip a little, just peep inside. You see hard currency. What we call hard currency. So interesting to see how we relate to hard currency as US dollars. So our currency is what? He said, do you have hard currency? As our own is soft. Yeah, you see the currency floating at the bag. What do? Yeah, I've taught you in church. If that becomes your this thing, your reality, you call police. So are we together? You call your bank. Yeah? But let's assume you have the energy to wash it clean. Don't forget your tithes. I mean, yeah. You know, I don't have the energy to wash it clean, but let's assume you have it. Yeah. That one, I agree. You are the pastor and the member. I don't have any issue with that. But just 10%. You don't need more than that. Yeah? You know, there's a man, I think was it Rockefeller that said at the point of which he left the earth, his tithe was 90% of his income. I don't know if you heard that before. Right? This one, I'm not asking for Rockefeller's amount. Just 10. A full bag of $100 bills. I don't know what was inside. I don't want to know. Just 10. Are we together? Now, so what am I saying this? If you allow your attention to be fixed on all those things, you know, I always say, when you see somebody who they call miracle money enter your account, are we together? You know, some people, when they hear us say these things, they think that we don't believe in the miraculous. No, we do believe in it. I've seen miraculous things happen. Some miraculous things happen. My dad, I remember there was a time when my sister was going to school. I'm sure she'll remember this. My dad did not have her school fees. Yeah, he didn't have her school fees. Yeah, but he just, my dad was a very huge man of faith. And that one of the things he told me personally before he passed was, you see, it's good to be a man of faith, but don't live your life and your feeding of your family on faith alone. You have to learn the hard way. Altogether. Yeah. So that time he drove from Abuja to Ekiti as a federal university, right? He didn't have the school fees. He was taking his daughter to school. And as soon as he got into the gate of the school, he received the alert of what was needed for her school fees, accommodation, and pocket money. That's it. Out together. Right? So we've seen miraculous things. We've seen very strange things. We've seen strange things. We're doing a 3-day prayer. Forget about it. I don't like this, all these stories. Yeah, but we've seen strange things. Well, when you see people saying that, somebody called me a few days ago and was telling me that the pastor was saying that it's only pastors who are not materially prosperous that preach against material prosperity. And I shook my head and I said, imagine, only pastors who are not prosperous that preach about material prosperity. What you should say clearly is this: only pastors who don't flaunt their money. Do you understand? Let me tell you something. I'm live, but okay, let me just go. I'll just say it moderately. Have you read the book called Millionaires Next Door? You see, Thomas in that book did a research and he said that most billionaires are not known. Most, 95% of the billionaires and millionaires in this world are not on social media. Are you with me? So when we make very blanket statement, it makes us look very stupid and we think we are smart. He said from his research, handling maybe 500,000 millionaires, I just did a survey. Most of them live in houses that are ordinary. Are we together? Most of them don't drive the latest car. Are we together? Then someone now wakes up. Eh? And they said they live in neighborhoods that are unassuming. So when I wake up, they say, any pastor talking about material prosperity is not prosperity, they are suffering. Wait, do I preach material prosperity? Do I preach material prosperity? Do I encourage you to do well materially? I don't have to preach material prosperity. Imagine, you know, I was saying a couple weeks ago when you say, pastor saying, you know, I was just waking up one day. You know, is it that testimony I just gave my dad? You know, it's because the pastor. If you're in this church, lift your hand. Somebody just woke up one day and gave you £1,000. If you're in this church, lift your hands. Somebody just woke up in this church and gave £1,000. In any church you've attended, lift your hand. You're in the church. Eh? And somebody just say, I just felt led to give you £1,000. Lift your hand.
Not yet.
I'm saying if every church asks this question, you will have few hands that will go up at all. If at all, there will be any hand. In our own, for people who cannot see, nobody. Yet. And I'm even saying to you, let's even assume everybody blow here. You know that different kind of people you that different kind of people. You know, when you have more money, then you know there are other things you do. That's why one of the safest ways to keep money is always live below your means. Because once you have small money, the first thing you want to do is to jump on the next. What's the next thing? You want people to know you've arrived. And I'm trying to say that imagine how many people can possibly be led to give that school fees of my sister to my father as their pastor. So imagine my dad now comes and now says, if you just have faith, say faith. So faith is the hand by which you receive what grace has made available. Say, flip the switch. We flip switch. The switch has spoiled itself. Nothing has come from it. Right? Why are we saying it this way? Right? So that you can always put at the forefront of your mind that you don't depend on things that can switch and cannot switch. This year, I decree over you, there's a place for that. Right? You experience, well, that's fine. We all understand all those things. But the truth remains that life is too complex and it doesn't, and unfortunately, not only Christians are on this earth. You know, when Paul says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. If other saints did not yield to the spirit of liberality, that prayer was just word of mouth. Are we together? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. If that prayer, if God speaks to somebody and says, oh, minister this whatever say to the Corinthians or the Philippians or whoever they are, it is your decision. Okay, imagine God told you to give me £1,000. God told you. I'm God telling you. I'm not even joking, you're smiling. God has told you, and I'm the one telling you. Yeah? I'm the one echoing it to you. God, it looks like you want to close your ear. That's how some of us live our life. God will be telling you, the voice I bind and cast. You'll be binding out voice of God. God will say, give that to your fellow believer, right? Give that guy who is doing this. Give that this. Can't be God. Sometimes we even try to explain it away and say, this person is bigger than this money now. No, I don't want him to feel insulted. You there, you're just stingy. You want to keep your money in your pocket. So I don't want you to feel insulted. Right? More often than not, right? The miracle, prosperity life that all of us are looking for are in the hands of unbelievers. You know why? If Christian, and I'm not saying there's no advantage we can have as believers. You have the Spirit of God, is that correct? You can know a business not to go into. Yeah, but let me tell you, no matter how much Spirit of God you have, you can't trade Forex. I'm telling you, forget it. I've tried it. Forget it. You can't trade Forex. No matter the Spirit of God, lead your spirit. You can't use it. Go and lead your spirit. Go and you lose all your money. One guy, one of my friends, good friend of mine, in Christ 2017 or 2018, I just walked into the meeting and I picked up the mic and I gave words of knowledge. Bah. The guy was just, he wore a suit like this, was just looking at me. After the meeting, he came and went to me and said, pastor, please, I want to see you, but I don't want to be in the public. When can you have time this week? I said, Monday, tomorrow, Saturday, Monday, come to my house. Come to my house on Monday. He said, pastor, in the next 6 months, I want to make $1 million.
and I want to use your guidance. If I have the guidance, will he have the connection? No. Listen now. If I had that guidance that he's looking for, if I use it for my life, will he be able to speak to me? Just that. Will he be able to come close to me? He will be speaking to my PA. You meet me on Saturday. I say he's got to my house on Monday. And you say you want to use my lean on the spirit to know how to do this. I just told him, I said, okay, go and learn this thing well. You will lose plenty pests before you get, if at all you get. You know, 90% of forex traders are in negative equity. Like the money, they were better off when they lost that forex. They were 95% of forex traders were better off. Yeah, me too, man. I've been scared a little. Yeah. They'll tell you, there's this robot that it just uses to... let me ask you a question. Just one question. See, there's this robot, you just need to put on your VPN. One guy came to sell it for me, doesn't know how I've grown. But I just felt like, okay, you know that kind of thing where you have money to just give it, right? You're not really expecting it, but if it works, good. Because life is a risk. He said, there's a robot, I'm trying to build a robot. He called it one name, Execution. I bought it. You know, I knew it was from us. He will make his money. No, now, if you sell one robot, $500, 10 people is $5,000. Right? I entered the robot. Just like one guy like this, I never call his name. Yeah? He says, give me forex signal, forex signal. Well, I lie not. My friend, Pastor Abi, will tell you this. We joined the group chats. We paid for it, though. He will send a signal. Buy gold. Nah. Done it. Mr. Precious has done it. Buy gold now. And you will not be sleeping. You put your phone like this. Because if you buy gold... 1 minute later, they'll say you delayed. If you buy it 1 minute later, they say, no, you didn't jump it. And they will show you profit. So you keep your phone like this, you increase your volume of Telegram to the highest. Buy gold. We'll buy gold. Like the moment you just enter, it's minus 200. You jump out and get out of here. I told my friend, when next you come, I'll confirm it with him. I said, bro, let's do something. Any signal this guy give us, go the opposite direction. We started making profits. Now, if he says, buy gold now, just go and sell. If he says, sell gold now, just go and buy. Because his calculation is nonsense. How we for this thing? So eventually, this guy now came to the other guy that says, no, execution bot.
That's execution bot.
If you have a bot, what can I give you $1 million? Will you tell me? Do you understand what I say? You have a bot that is giving you a sprinting money for you. You don't know me from anywhere. You are selling it to me. Not love work. You don't know me from anywhere. Your bot is giving you $10,000 per day. Okay, I agree. Who am I to you that you feel like you want me to make money? Because you know, I rise by lifting others. You rise by lifting others. Yeah. So eventually, you know, the unfortunate thing, if you're not a very disciplined person, you jump into the forex market, right? And when you just jump into it, now you just bought the robot. You're already planning how you buy your second house. If the second house, there's $500 every day, just $500, lost engine. Do you know what it means to do $500 every day in forex markets? $500. Just $500. No, you just want to buy 100,000 accounts. $500. Just a little 0.001. I'm not greedy. Before you know, you say, at the end of the year, if I start October, by March, I should have found around $85,000. I'll buy my Ferrari. Buy my house. Eventually, you now come to church, you'll be rejoicing. We don't know that somebody has assured you something that's bigger than assurance of salvation. They told you that just give me 6 months, your life will change. Life doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. That is why people easily get disappointed. You know, I always tell my family to tell me, nobody has seen me as burnt in this life as my family. Yeah. So my sister now, she stopped investing with me and doing business with me. You know why? Because she said, if the money go, I will still be myself. But they will not be themselves. So she said she's still growing. So she hasn't got it to my level. And that's the truth. There are days I've lost thousands of pounds and I'll still come here and say, if you don't lose thousands of pounds, you won't make thousands of pounds. It's life. Yeah? So whether 1,000 pounds go, 5,000 pounds go, 20,000 pounds go. He said, now is when I be careful. Eh? I'm trying to tell you for free reality. You know, for me, until I took Excel sheet, I started calculating how much I was putting into Forex. That's when it dawned on me that I spend a lot of money on this thing. Right? So someone reached out to me and said, are you still trading Forex? I said, no, I'm still trading, but on the back end. Right? You need a stable mind to trade it. And my own joy is not stable yet. I'm not sure at that point. So I just leave it aside. But I'm saying the day I make 10,000 pounds, the day I lose 10,000 pounds, I'm not talking figuratively. Are you with me? Yeah? I'm still the same. Some guys came there, they say the hoppy Forex. Eh? They say, I went to go and meet the CEO in his office. They are all Ponzi scheme. Use this brother to pay this sister, this sister to pay this sister. And they'll be buying a house there. They'll say they are doing into real estate agriculture. Which farm do you have? They will now snap one picture. Because if they snap a picture in Yola, will you know the owner of the farm in Yola? we have from stock, chicken stock. We are rearing chicken. And that's how. And this year was just to stay with me. This is 2018. He was telling me that, oh no. And I said, if you lose your money for it, because I know about it, you lose my word, the plan. So no, we're going to pay everybody back their money. Pay back their money. I said, how? So we have some strategic real estate, right? We'll buy property here, buy this. We have palm land. We are into agroeconomics. I said, okay. Me, I went back home. We put more money. Do you know, my boss then asked me to take one of his friends to go and do a visa. He was at the UK visa embassy. I met the brother. He full face mask like this. He went back, wanted to run away from the country. I'm not joking with you. I can call you his name. I'm sure he's still in this UK. All our money, we're just passing him and say, don't worry. We are working behind the scene. Delayed payment. And they'll give you a contract to sign. You will sign with your big signature and put your name and put date. Something that does not have value. That guy left Nigeria since then. He hasn't gone back to Nigeria. But me, now as a pastor, already at the time, I can't be harassing him in front of UK embassy now. I'm saying, I got what I T4. I was together. Another group of guys came again. They called themselves MBA Forex. I stepped into MBA Forex. I've not seen a bank as fine as that in the whole Nigeria. I just walked around like, why is everything polished, glass house, four floors? When they left the country, they left their signboard outside. So me, to any time I want to just remind myself that my money is with people and it's working, I'll just drive through the plaza. I'll just see that they are still there. That's how they left. Yeah? But guess what? In all of those things, because my joy is not on what I'm expecting. If at all I'm expecting something in the future, it's about the resurrection reality of the believer, that the saints will rise again. If at all, I'm expecting something future. It's not about finances. It's not about money. Are we together? Money comes, money goes. The barracks remains, like I say. Yeah? So you need to ensure that you keep reminding yourself about this. The reason many believers lose their joy is that they are more emotional Christians than educational Christians. We said that last week. Right? Don't allow life program your responses. Don't allow life to program responses from you, rather. I said that last week as well. Yeah, we looked at David, looked at the narrative of David. What did David do in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6? He encouraged himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord. So David didn't find strength in his title, in his soldiers, or in his sword. He found it in the Lord his God. Hallelujah.
You said true joy begins with dependence from the things you can control or things you cannot control to who controls you. Yeah? Shift your dependence from the things you can control, things you can't control, to who. It's not about what can change or what cannot change. It's about who is on your inside. Who is your God? Who is your God? Joy of the Lord gives strength. Nehemiah 8, we saw that, right? So joy will keep your eyes open to see possibilities. Life is too dynamic. You know, I was saying on Wednesday, right? How can you be having issue with your wife, your husband at home, and not eating at home? You don't know every issue determines requires energy to respond to. At least eat and see front. Some people, the issue they have is that they are not eating well. Yeah? Why are you not eating well? Because you lost money? No. Because something happened to you? No. Don't lose your appetite because, I mean, there are very few occasions like that can happen. But see, always remind yourself that there's something bigger on your inside. There's something bigger on your inside. There's something worth living for. And that's that Jesus in you, the hope of glory. There's something worth living for. There's something worth waking up tomorrow to see another day. Yeah? Sometimes you see some unbelievers and the way they manage life challenges. And they do better than, are you with me? They do better than believers. Are you here? You see, I was looking at someone, there's a man in Nigeria who is into one of this, someone I look up to basically on in the real estate world. And he's into a lot of real estate as well. Let me just leave it there. You know, and one day the government just cleared all his property. So when he was talking about it, he was just talking about how he lost so and so million dollars. And I'm like, you are still alive. And the fortunate thing is just that the thing about it is that the $50 million, $100 million he's talking about was not his personal money alone. Investors. And I was still moving around with his suit, and I'm like, I don't know if he's a Christian, I don't know what he gives his faith to and all of those things, but like, this is somebody who is handling life differently from a lot of believers. How together? Believers, you lose your wallet. What was this side? Maybe £1,000. I will kill myself. You get there. No. Let me mad small. How did you get there? No. You cannot understand. You remove your wig, you throw it away. You in the middle, you lose on losing your weaving. They will see you even weave under. You want to look like it's someone that is not normal. Just so they can understand it ain't paying you well. No. The Bible says that the men of David did not even have strength to cry. Are we together? I hope you know, sir, you even need food to be able to have energy to cry. Sometimes you've not eaten, you will look for tears, it won't come out. Yeah? There's a thing called encouraging yourself no matter the storm. You thought you were going to finish with a distinction in school. You didn't finish the distinction, and so what? You thought you were going to finish with a first class because you want to get a scholarship. Okay, you didn't finish with first class. And so what? Right? Could you feel bad? Yes. Should you feel bad? Yes. But the truth is that there is more to life. As long as you're a believer, there is more to life. Yeah? Your tomorrow can be so polished in a way that you don't even need your certification. Think about it. In the next 5-10 years, a lot of people will not be doing what they studied in school. Even as we speak right now, many of us are doing what they study in school. I was talking with someone yesterday in a Nigerian church. I was asking what did she study? Because the way she gave me some IT tools and all those stuff, like, what did you study? Philosophy and religion. And I'm like, that's somebody who knows that there is more to life. I need to keep going. But if imagine she wakes up every day and saying, my parents, they forced me to study religion and philosophy, not knowing that there's no job anyway. She's trying to look for how to create money, how to create a job, how to make her life just move forward. And that's how the believer ought to see every day. You can't keep complaining your background. Yeah? You can't keep complaining, my parents, my father. If my father had no money, yeah? There's now a new argument people are trying to use to explain themselves. Why are you fighting whether you are a Nepo or is it Nepo? What's the other word? Nepo or Lapo? You know that Nepo or Lapo? And Lapo is the opposite of Nepo. So Nepo is the one that has influence. Lapo means poverty, struggle. Right? So I know. And see, people are fighting. No, I'm a Lapo child. Why are you fighting that you are from poverty? No. My parents do not have money. Okay. My lineage, I'm the first person to buy. Okay.
What about that? And so what? Like I always say, the way you will give your life today is what will make your children say if they are nepo or lapo. Amen? Amen? You know, imagine, you know, for I think about it. Parents who their children are shouted up and down in public saying they are lapo children, you think they feel good?
Why so good?
You think they feel good when they watch the video? You know, everybody has ring light and phone, every small thing. I want to explain how I'm a lapo baby. You block your parents' spirit and be there. If your parents catch you shouting to the wall, you are lapo baby. And you not even say you were lapo baby, you are saying you are lapo baby. That means a present continuous. I'm lapo baby. My parents could not even afford more than it wish to eat once a day. You think it's not something now? At least if it is that. So now, eventually, imagine you are now alive in your 50s. Imagine Naomi just shouting one camera. I'm lapo baby. When I think about that, it makes me want to look for a third job or second or fourth job. I'm not saying I'm doing two jobs, though. I say look for a second or third job, fourth job. Because people, the way you used to read me into things, I'm doing only one job. Praise God forevermore. All together. Like I said, every time you see people rejoicing in scriptures, there's something they know. Practical ways to stay joyful. Let's close it today. Number one, we said this on Wednesday, but we'll go by it again. Consistent study of the word. Is that so? You said don't study the word to preach, like I said on Wednesday. Don't study because you want to preach. Study for personal growth. Number two, we said fellowship with believers. You should have that in your notes already. Fellowship with believers. We said joy multiplies in community. We said the next one is remembrance. Regularly reflecting and remembering and reminding ourselves of what Christ has done. So consistent study of the word, fellowship with believers, remembrance, and reminding ourselves of God's word done. Number four, when you remember, you confess. Confession, what does the word say? Not what does the world say. What does the word say? What does God's word say about you? What does God's word say about your life? And the last one there we said was, you should remember, keep on joyful people at arm's length. Yeah, you are not cutting, you are not burning bridge. How can somebody be calling you every time somebody die? How can somebody be calling you every time there's an accident? Yeah, keep those bridges. Like I said, and I will say it over and over, it's easier for you to what? Dodge a clothes, or rather, with your clothes, dodge somebody who is bleeding. Is that correct? Than for someone to bleed on you. You have more energy that will be required if you have to wash a cloth that is stained with blood. It's easier for you to just dodge away and get yourself away. And know how to politely tell. You know, I said that example on Wednesday. Know how to politely tell people where they are. And I'll close with that story again. Right? When I was in school. Right? Yeah. My mom had told me. So I was in primary school. I was the head boy in my school. I was class preferred all my life from primary one to my final year in university, even my master's here. So I've always had that leadership, privilege to lead people and all those kind of things. But when I was in sixth form, one of the things, because I was going to be the head boy in primary six, my parents wanted me to do primary six by all means, right? And the school gave me the privilege of being the head boy as well in the school. So most of my mates had left school and they had moved on with their life. And I just felt like two things I always said I would always get: be the leader in class, be the leader in school, and also be the neatest boy. I used to be the neatest boy in school. They used to give us a crown. When I was in, GS3, my mom just called me one day and she just spoke to me and she just said a few things about how, she feels like I'm made for more and there's more about me. And that changed the course of my life, right? I stopped secondary school in SS1. In fact, SS1 first then. That's when I stopped secondary school, right? And I wrote my wife from then, got into university. I remember I told you the name of the man, right? What's the name of the man? Mr. Law. Remember the name of the man now? Yeah? Mr. Lawrence, I can never forget, he was teaching chemistry. He called me and my friend Simon, called us to the back of the school, right? And he told us, said, you stick university. For people, all they know how to do is to project their life's failure on other people. They project their life's failure on other people. I'm not the one that says you should be a teacher. I'm not the one that says you should be a chemistry teacher. I'm not the one that asks you to be where you are. He said, no, he called me and said, yeah, Simon, see, university is this thing. You will fail and fail hopefully. Then we're still young children, right? So eventually it's difficult for you to be able to talk to your parents because fair to him, I say he wanted to just help you. I said, no, I'm not going to fail. Right, got into school, started my life on that course, and eventually came out as one of the best students. What am I saying? I intentionally put that guy. So that guy's words, I told him, right, politely just told him, I said, no, I won't fail. I wasn't rude to him, but I didn't need to even think about going. I'm trying to say that Because I even heard it, that was enough for me, for my mind to be troubled. Don't bother hearing things that will trouble your joy. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Don't bother hearing things that will trouble your joy. Some people, because you know they always call you and they always call you negative news. Before they start up, you say, what do you want to say? Is it good or bad? Do you understand? Right? If a recruiter calls you and say, I have two news for you. One is good, one is bad. You say, just tell me the good and go. Because you already know the bad news. You didn't have the job. Is that not correct? More often than not. It's not you don't have the job. What is the good news? You performed well. You communicated with the CEO, felt so at home with you. So good news. You know, this is not about your personality. It's about other candidates. It's not about you. It's us. Yeah? Just tell us the good news. Don't worry. I understand it from there. Right? Because you know, I hope you know, those negative news that people hear from job applications, because what their mind is on, right, it can affect the course of their lives forever. Imagine you get it. Some people don't know how to handle rejection. We'll look at that next week, right? In the midst of rejection, you see the apostles, why they were being flogged. They said, don't preach in the name of Jesus again. They said, okay, sir. They stepped out of the door and they started preaching in the name of Jesus. That's how to handle rejection. There's a joy that comes from knowing who you are in Christ Jesus.